Well, we are listening to Orlando Pontilla Ríos y el Conjunto Todo Rumbero, a tribute to Gonzalo Asensio, Tic Tom. And the piece we're listening to is called Mi Tierra, My Land. And of course, this is music from Cuba. And I am sending the show out to the people of Cuba, whom I was fortunate to, some of whom, a small number of whom I was fortunate to meet when I was there in 2013. I wish them luck and fairness and justice, as I do for the people of the United States and people all over the world, including you, my dear listeners, here at KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, KMUN.org. And guess what? You are listening to Arts Almost Live and Local in or from the studio. That's right. Yahoo! We're pumping fists here. This is my first time back in the studio in a year and 7 months, something like that, 6 months. And I'm being coached, but all errors are mine. So we're going to do the best we can. I want to send a couple of happy birthday wishes to Carrie on her 63rd, and to Cliff Lemire. I don't know what number it is for him. And to you, wherever you are, if you have a birthday now or any time this year. And special shout out to still Squamish, Omaha, and Sydney, and Robin, and to Seashell, Tessa, and Sev, and to all listeners all over the world. Healing also goes out all over the world. Durban, South Africa, to the Armstrongs, and the to Sue right here in Astoria, and Jan. And it is a big weekend here in Astoria because it's the Astoria Open Studios Tour, which is put on by the Astoria Visual Arts and the City of Astoria. There will be 55 artists, 50 of them live in their studios or somewhere, and 5 virtual. This is something brand new. And you can check out AstoriaVisualArts.org for all the information you need. So I have 2 of the artists, and I do believe they are KMUN virgins. And, oops, I guess so, because somebody gave a laugh. It's, hi, Carrie, and Carrie Williams, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Carrie, and Karina Andrews.
Yeah, hi, I'm here as well.
Good.
I was actually on the show a couple of years ago, I think.
Oh.
But just briefly.
Oh.
So we can pretend like it's my first time.
Oh, this is like Goodbye Columbus, right, where you get to be made a virgin again. Well,
here we go.
It's all over because now you're definitely part of KMUN family, both of you. Congratulations on being part of this amazing event. Have you been, let me start with Carrie, have you been part of this event ever?
No, this is my first time. I've also never been on the radio, like you said.
Oh, any radio. Okay. Well, it's easy. Don't fret. You're there now. Oops, I'm just going to grab some water. And you are one of the live artists. So do you have your own studio here in Astoria area?
Yeah, I have my studio at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a back room of our house.
In the bathroom of your house, do you have
the back room?
Oh, the back room. Okay, I was going to say, how many bathrooms do you have? Because that would be hard.
Large,
yeah.
One.
Okay. Nice, nice. Now you came from Seattle. My understanding is you were selected to be part of Au Naturel, the Nude in the 21st Century exhibit up at Clatsop Community College. When was that?
That was in 2019. But I fell in love with Astoria immediately. I think my family had probably driven through as a kid.
Were you from this area, from the Pacific Northwest?
Well, no, but I've lived in the Northwest for over 20 years. I was born in near Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's quite different. So you came to Astoria. How did you even find out about Au Naturel?
Well, my friend Daniel Gonzalez told me about it. We studied together at the Aristides Atelier up in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
the Gage Academy of Art.
So, go ahead.
He's amazing at promoting himself. He's sold work all over the country, probably all over the world.
So he encouraged you to give it a try?
Mm-hmm.
And Shazam! It changed your life, didn't it?
For sure.
Yeah. And now you're here. So my understanding, again, I have never met either Carrie. Apparently, I have met Karina. Sorry, Karina. We'll talk.
No problem.
We'll talk later. And Carrie, you're predominantly an oil painter. Is that correct?
Yeah, oil painting is my love. I've tried other mediums. I've done sculpture and watercolor as well, but I love oil painting.
Well, you have a background in art, I understand, in classical realism. Tell us what that means.
Well, in Europe, they used to have a master painter who would train their apprentices in a studio, and they would accept a certain amount of people to study with them, and they clean the master's palette, and they probably do all sorts of that kind of stuff, but mm-hmm. they also get to observe the master at work, and it seems like kind of a really foreign concept, but that's what they used to do during the Renaissance in Italy, and so I had the opportunity to do that with Juliet Aristides in Seattle, which is amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And seeing how I'm kind of an archaeology nerd.
Yeah, that was the other thing. You have a degree in archaeology. I want you to bring those things together, please.
Well, I love art most of all, but mm-hmm. the history entwined with the art is also what captivates me. And several years ago, I traveled to France to see the caves and the Dordogne mm-hmm. Valley mm-hmm. in Lascaux and all of that because I'm trying to understand the original pull of why people were drawing on the walls with ochre and all this crazy stuff. And I'm just doing the same thing as they were.
Have you figured it out? Have you figured out why they do it? In other words, if you're doing it now, what's motivating you?
I think that's the whole motivation is that it's mysterious and no one knows the answer.
Nice.
That's the exciting part of it.
Nice, nice. Well, I did stop down at the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery on my way to the KMUN studio, and I did see a couple of pieces from each of you, and also online. And I was very impressed. So I could see the realism as well. But one of your pieces has, am I right, has a group of children? Was that?
Yeah, the Children of the Forest.
The Children of the Forest. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you use models for that, or?
Yep, they were real people. I did that one from a photo.
I was going to say, how did you get kids to sit still so long? Okay, so you got a photo and did that. Nice. And your pieces, do they vary in size? What are we going to see when we come to your studio?
Everything. I have the little studies that didn't really make it to completion on display. I also have bigger pieces. I still have the conclusion from Au Naturel that I showed last year.
Oh, good.
Which is about 5 feet tall.
Oh.
That's my biggest piece. And I would like to do more larger pieces like that. But that was done during my schooling at the very end for my thesis. And I had a model. And in the atelier, toward the end of the year, we have a model that does the exact same pose every day of the week for 3 hours for an entire month.
Oh, my God.
No, it sounds insane.
I hope they get paid well. Wow.
And that's how I made that painting. Mm-hmm. And that's why I could make that painting. But during COVID, those kind of resources weren't available. So I had a small group of people at Paul Polson's gallery, and we met, and it was less than six people, and we social distanced and everything.
Nice.
But we still worked from the figure, and we were able to do that. I don't know.
So, what I'm seeing is mostly figurative. Is that because you wrote something about? Okay, so now I'm thinking I'm seeing this differently. You wrote that you hope to do multi-figurative narratives for the Lower Columbia Basin. There were some other words in there that I left out, but I'm wondering, do you have some specific ideas in mind already, or are you sort of watching your environment as it opens up?
So I'm very much influenced by by Renaissance paintings. I have been looking at them since I was a child. I never really understood them, but then I studied with Juliet. I would like to recreate them in my own way. And after meeting all the incredible people in Astoria, I think I would just love to do some sort of rendition of them in these kinds of, it's that kind of life. And I haven't, there are so many challenges involved with doing multi-figure paintings, such as getting all the models together, taking pictures, having the light be right, all these things, which I'm learning to do now. I only have been painting for 8 years or so, professionally. So,
did you paint before when you slipped that word professionally in there? Did you paint just for yourself as a child, or you said you've been looking at the say again?
I was one of those
doodlers.
I think everyone kind of doodles.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I definitely was drawing in school.
Yeah. Aha. In school.
Yeah.
Too. Okay.
And I didn't think it was a profession. I went to school thinking I would. I initially entered university studying biochemistry, which is kind of hilarious.
It certainly is, yes. Although, although archaeology has a link. So.
That was how I, that was, it took me a long time to figure out that that was what I was interested in.
Well, good for you. And you're probably still figuring things out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. That's how alive we are. Well, I'm delighted that you have decided to settle here in Astoria and become part of our very lively art scene, which was quieter, not completely. We still had art walk during the during COVID, but now things are opening up even more, so great. Well, Karina, your work is very different.
Indeed.
Yes. Indeed. You're a woodblock printer, and I was reading, I happen to love woodblock prints, especially the, a lot of the old ones as well, not especially, but old ones as well that were kind of black and white. You wrote about your process. I wonder if you can tell us that, and then how you came to it.
Well, actually, my process is multi-block printing. So it, most of the black and white woodblock prints or linoleum cut prints you'll see are a single block.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do is I will take an image and then figure out all the different colors or, I guess, you know, textures that I want to add to the image and where those are going to be. And then I will carve those onto different blocks. And then I will line the blocks up and layer them individually on the same piece of paper.
So how many blocks might you have, for example, for one piece?
Gosh, anywhere between two to, I think, the most that I've had in a single piece was eight.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it really depends on how detailed you want to get or how many different colors you want
right.
to get.
And does this mean that you have to have a complete concept of what you want the end to look like before you start?
You do, but it also depends on how fluid you want your image to be. So I generally like to do landscape images, and then also now I've been doing a lot more figurative images. So I just had a baby in the last year.
Yes, congratulations.
I'm very inspired by the female presence and form and
nice.
Just the magic divinity within us.
Right.
And so I've been doing a little bit more of formative figures as well. But for that, you know, I do sketch out that area to put on all the blocks so that it does line up correctly. But then mm-hmm. I often like to add bits of chatter, it's called, so where you can see the carving marks. I will leave some of that area, and I kind of let that come as the wood dictates.
Now, if you're using as many as eight pieces of wood, how big would you go with something like that?
Well, my biggest piece, I actually used multiple blocks for that and lined them up. So the largest single block that I've had is about, it's probably about 20 by 30. It's pretty large.
That's big.
Maybe slightly under that. Yeah, it's pretty big. And I hand printed that, so I rubbed the back of that instead of putting it through a press.
Mm-hmm.
But my largest piece is about 2 foot tall by about 4 feet wide of Mount Hood, and I created that on seven different blocks. So I have seven skinny blocks that, when put together in the correct order, turn into Mount Hood.
I like that, in the correct order. Good.
Yeah, I definitely had to number each one of the blocks on the bottom, so I was making sure
figure it out.
That they were they're correct.
Now you, I'm thinking from your something I read, Oysterville Press and Print Shop. Do you have a shop in Oysterville? Is that what?
No. Well, no. It's Oyster Hill is what we call the house in Astoria. So my studio is the daylit basement of our house. So not Oysterville, but Oyster Hill.
Oh, how funny. Okay.
Yes.
I thought,
and, I think of my house as a gray, oysterish looking house.
But, right.
You know, in further reflection, it's actually a brownish color, but anyway.
But you are doing, you're one of the five virtual artists, is that right?
Yeah, so I've participated in the tour since, I believe, 2017, might have been 16, but I think 17. Mm-hmm. And I've opened our studio, or my studio, up to people in the past, and that's been wonderful. But the opportunity to present my work virtually last year, I thought was really nice, and it was really great to be able to show a lot more of the process than maybe people would be able to see if they just came in, you know, to the studio for a couple minutes, looked around, mm-hmm. and then took off for the next studio. And so this year, the video that I made, I created a lot more process videos of me carving. So you see the carving process, you see how I will lay out the image, how I'll break that down with the different blocks, carve the blocks, and then run it through the press.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
And is that, now that will obviously be part of the Astoria Open Studios tour. Is that also available on your personal website, or if you have one, or what?
I don't have a website. I just have an Instagram right now, which is the best way to contact me regarding art, unless you just happen to see me around town.
Right.
but I will be putting those videos up afterwards. I just wanted them to show up first for the studio tour.
Good. And what is your Instagram? If you want to tell.
Yeah. Oyster Hill Press and Print Shop. The print shop is TBD right now, but that's the Instagram handle that I go by.
I'm laughing at myself because I'm going to go back and look and see if it was a typo or if my brain, translated Oyster Hill to Oysterville and thought I knew where you lived. So
I live in town.
You're right here in Astoria. Yeah. Good. Well, and you said, you know, if people happen to see you, well, that would be great. But I would ask you to please come over to me because I, as people know, for the last 20 or 19 years, this show has been entirely in studio. That's why it's called Arts Live and Local. So we're still live, but we're on the phone and definitely local, but it's quite different because I have no idea what either of you look like right now. So I'll look forward to meeting you. Maybe I'll even see Carrie this weekend. And did you think... Did this have anything to do with your intention to work more with the female energy and maternal piece? Or did that just come to you having had a baby?
It came definitely while pregnant. And, you know, mm-hmm. A female friend of mine is the mother of actually now four young boys, all under the age of five.
Oh, my God.
And she is she is absolutely the pillar of peace and calm and serenity.
Oh.
And she inspired a piece that I call Mother of Dragons. And it's her holding these three babies, walking through the flames.
Yes.
And she's kind of like the cool moment in the flames there.
I saw that. I had no idea it was based on reality.
Yeah.
I've got my legs crossed right now, so thank you.
Yeah, she just had her first boy about a month ago. So.
Yeah, sounds like she's trying for a girl. Maybe, you know, maybe she should just borrow one.
Or they might be tapped out. But
yeah, really. So, well, that's a wonderful model to have. Are you painting as a full-time? Well, of course, you're a mother right now, but... before, were you painting full time also?
Carrie? Block printing, but no,
printing,
I do that
sorry.
On the side as just a way to release that artistic energy that always builds up.
And did you make other kinds of art, or did you fall
right? I've always been a dabbler, so mm-hmm. this came about the woodblock printmaking. I had stumbled upon a Portland Community College class taught by Chris Harmon, and I thought that that was something that sounded interesting, and I had taken just an art class that had, you know, a week of printmaking here or there back when I was in high school or college or whatever. And so I took that class and absolutely fell in love, and I've just been doing that ever since.
So that's, I've been in love with woodblock for forever, it seems. But when I read this, what you wrote about multi-layered, that was the part that I was unaware of, because I was thinking, and lino cuts too, of the idea of you lay it down, then you carve a little more, and then you lay it down, and et cetera. But this is a whole different process. So,
yeah, I don't generally do that. That's called a reduction print, and I don't do that. My brain just doesn't work in that way. My brain works in this multi-block way. So
it's good. Your brain is working. That's the important part. And you're making beautiful art. And so I wish you all the luck, and I hope both of you have a great weekend. Carrie, I was going to ask you, are you doing art full-time pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much, good.
I am.
Okay. Good. Okay, well, it's lovely to meet you both, and I look forward to the day when I will see you in person, and definitely look forward to seeing your work. And so thank you so much for joining us here at KMUN. And this, again, folks, is Astoria Open Studios Tour. And I'll tell you, the booklet is delightful, and it can be found. It's in various places, probably in galleries, etc. But you can also go by the AVA Gallery, which is on 10th and Duane. I just picked up my booklet there, and Deanna was there, and I got to see some of the work that will be shown this weekend. And it is happening from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. this Saturday and Sunday only. I guess I didn't write down what number this is. It's been going on for many years with various people leading it, and the AVA taking part for most of the time. And it is a delightful way to get out and about. Please do wear your masks when you go inside people's homes or inside galleries. And, you know, if it's too crowded in one place, go a block away and then come back. Let's keep ourselves safe so that we can enjoy each other and the creative arts in our area. Thanks so much, Karina and Carrie. Karina Andrews and Carrie Williams.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
You're listening to Giancarlo Menotti, and you'll find out why in a minute. Enjoy. This is The Old Maid and the Thief. I am enjoying this music so much, I'm having a hard time letting it go. But I will, because, seems like the overture is over anyway. And also because I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing and hearing this opera of Giancarlo Menotti, The Old Maid and the Thief. I'm trying to think with whom I identify. And here to tell us about it, this is being presented not this weekend, but next weekend, on July 30th at 7 p.m., that is Friday, and then on Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, a.k.a. the PAC, on 16th and Franklin in Astoria. And it will be presented in English. And here to tell you everything. Oh, and by the way, folks, I have the chart. Actually, I think it's from Hipfish, with the names of all the artists who are going to be showing this weekend in the Astoria Open Studio Tour. And I hope I'll have time to read some of them to you because there are a lot of names you recognize and then some you may not. But right now, I think you will recognize Barina Centeno, Barina Jones Centeno, and hi, Barina.
Hey there. How are you, Carol?
I'm very well, thank you. I don't know whether you heard, but I am actually in the studio right now. First time in a year and a half. Barina is also a programmer here at KMUN. What do you think she does? Of course, opera. She's also the director of the Cascadia Chamber Opera, which is presenting The Old Maid and the Thief. And again, that's happening next weekend. With Barina is Lori Kramer Serafin, and that too may be a familiar name to some folks, although I don't think I've met Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. Have you been on the air before?
No, I have talked on KMUN with Graham about historic preservation, another passion of mine.
Oh, okay. Wow, wonderful. Okay, well, Lori has a buddy who is one of my favorite classical music programmers on KMUN, and he's one of the 50 or more programmers who have been creating programs all year from home so that KMUN, you know, the show must go on, and it did beautifully, and it's still going on. But now programmers are starting to trickle back in with training and with safety into the studio to provide their music. So Barina and Lori, Lori is the, if I understand correctly, is the board of directors for the Cascadia Chamber Opera. You are the secretary, is that right?
Yes, I'm the secretary.
So you can make things look however you want because you get to write them down and to, for perpetuity. That's great. But this this production, or perhaps all the productions, you're also doing costuming, sets, and props? Yes?
Yep.
Wow.
So let me jump in for a second. So Lori is one of those people that every artistic director and board is dreaming to have. She has great capacity to think and see the future. Huge step, important piece. And then she also writes it down and then follows it up with making things look great. That was the reason I was just lucky enough to say, hey, Lori, are you interested in helping us out a little bit? And she just went into this tirade about her, not skills per se, but her interest in the stage itself. And
wow.
And behold, she's done this incredible costuming for us on these, you know, the penny budget.
Right.
Costume, a look for us, and at the last minute, I've been, Lori, can you help out with this? And, I mean, from finding umbrellas to, you know, the incredible paint set, and my favorite thing is, right now, she's doused in paint because of all the work that
oh, my goodness. I love it. I love it. So I have to intercept by saying that even though I'm in the studio for the first time in a year and a half, I understand that Barina and Lori are in their cars. Is that correct? That's hilarious. I think you're the first people I have interviewed in your car. So not that you live there, but you're there for the interview for good reason.
Yeah.
So Barina, you've been trying to have the Cascadia Chamber Opera put this production on for how long?
Way too long.
Yeah.
As soon as we were getting ready to put it together and put it on stage last spring, that's exactly when they said, you know, shut down. And that was back in March of 2020.
Right.
And we kept putting it off. We thought maybe we could do it last summer, but that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
We were even hoping to do it early this spring, and that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're just hoping and praying that nothing silly happens between now and next week, Friday
right.
and Sunday.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, it's, yeah. You have rescheduled several times, and I know because we've rescheduled your interview several times, and I'm delighted and looking forward to seeing this. So I don't know the opera except that I have a cheat sheet in front of me. It's a computer. The music we heard, the overture from Giancarlo Minotti's The Old Maid and the Thief, was played on the station computer. It was, I guess it's a YouTube of the opera. So I'm looking at people doing the opera, only I think your costuming is going to be more fun. And and your sets and your prop. This is like strictly reader's theater, which I appreciate also, but and I can't hear the words. I just have these women running around the stage in front of me. So tell us a little bit about this as much as you like. And let's emphasize again, this is going to be in English, so people will be able to understand. And I'm going to ask you, Barinas, what your concept with the Cascadia Chamber Opera is in terms of having it in English. And then I also want to hear from Lori, since she's an opera buff, how she feels about that. Go for it.
Well, so I have to say that, and I've said this before, if you've heard me at all talk about my love for opera, my parents were not opera lovers. And so the couple of things that they really didn't care about it was that it was always in a foreign language, and so it was hard to follow what was going on. Mm. And for that primary reason, and because it is my own language, I felt like it was really important to do English language opera. And the desire to make sure that more people get to love it meant, let's make it so that people can understand it. Opera is complicated, though, when you're singing an opera in operatic tone. Sometimes
Lori's laughing. Yeah, right.
What we have done on every one of our productions, except for some of the lighter, lightest, we will put super titles. And, folks, even though we're doing this piece in English, even though we're doing The Old Maid and the Thief in English, we will still have super titles.
Oh, wow. Great.
Theater.
Great.
Because it's great text. Giancarlo Minotti was Italian-born, but moved to the United States in the early part of the 20th century, right around 1910, I believe. I can't remember. Don't remember exactly. But this opera premiered in 1939. Mm. And it was an English language opera that really kind of catapulted him into fame. And it's a comic piece, and Lori is reminding me to let you all know, he originally wrote it for radio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was originally written for radio. NBC Radio Orchestra actually premiered it.
Oh, my gosh.
Shortly after, he was asked to create a version of it for staging. So there are little staging notes throughout the score of what kinds of things would have happened. He wrote this libretto himself, the words of the piece he wrote himself, and the music, which was quite known for doing that sort of thing. And his other piece that people recognize the name of pretty quickly is Amahl and the Night Visitors.
Yes.
And a beautiful piece, and this piece is no less beautiful. The Old Maid and the Thief has a lot of wonderful moments. It is a comic opera, and Carol, you've heard me say before, it's important for me to keep opera approachable so that eventually folks will go out and seek, you know, the $80, $125, $200 tickets at bigger opera companies. But we like to keep it small and little and short. So
and very accessible financially as well. We don't give prices, but I did notice it's way beyond accessible, and it is free for children 9 years and younger. Is that correct?
Yep.
Lovely.
That's correct.
Lovely. So it's a family affair, really, and it's a comic opera, so it will be accessible. So Lori, Barinas had told me that in addition to your being all those wonderful, helpful things. You're also an opera buff, an opera lover. And tell me your background in opera. Did you always love it as a young person as well?
Well, as a Marinist, my parents did not enjoy opera. My dad thought high culture was the German polka. I did not grow up with opera. I do remember a grade school music teacher teaching us Aida, and I was into Egyptology and wanted to be an archaeologist.
Uh-huh.
What? The princess dies in the pyramid? No.
Put you right off.
Fast forward. It all started for me with the movie Amadeus.
Oh, yes. Wow.
One of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the opera scenes were, wow.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine at work, we decided we're going to like opera. We are going to go to Seattle Opera. And the first production we saw was Mozart Don Giovanni, and I was hooked.
Yeah, absolutely. Good one to go to.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a freight train of an opera.
It's a
freight train with a rape and a murder, and
right.
Goes from there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting what both of you say, because my father did have classical music on the air, but not so much opera. I started my affair with opera when I was in college, because I ushered, as I do these days in Astoria, I ushered for various performances. And I used to make fun of opera. You know, mother, father, mother, father. What are they doing? And then I really slowly but surely came to love it. And then, of course, being here in Astoria with all the wonderful opera we've had has been. And Barinas, we should mention, is an opera singer in addition to all the other things that she does. She is a singer and will be on stage singing. I understand this production is all local talent. So who do we have, Barinas?
Okay, so I kind of want to bring forward a little point before I list the artists. What we have done in the past, Cascadia Chamber Opera, has been to bring in artists to the area, and we're a touring company. So we like to bring artists from Portland and other, you know, Eugene and larger places where there are performers who use opera as their profession. Well, so what we wanted to do with this production is introduce the local folk, because we have singers right here in Astoria who are folks like myself who are otherwise engaged, but they love the art form, they love stage and that kind of thing. So the group of names that I want to bring forward, Elias Hess is a baritone in town, and he's singing the role of Bob. He is local to the area, and this is his first foray into opera with Cascadia Chamber Opera, and we're thrilled to have him. There's also Chris Lynn Taylor. Nobody.
Oh, yeah, right.
You're in Astoria. You know the name Chris Lynn Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Joining us as Miss Pinkerton, the neighbor. Then there's also Ann Bronson, and Ann has been singing for quite a while, and you've seen her in, if it wasn't at Cannon Beach, the Coaster Theater, you've probably all seen her at any of the Reader's Theater things that they've done at the Liberty Theater, and more recently her opera performance was with the folks at the Chorale who did the opera by Menotti, Amal and the Night Visitors. She sang the mother. So
yes,
we're thrilled to have Ann join us. And for Paul Brady, he's our orchestra. He's going to be playing the piano for us, and this is his first foray into opera. So there's all this talent hanging out in Astoria, and we wanted to present folks. And my beloved husband, Vincent Centeno, is our conductor. Jane Osborne, who is of Astor Street Opry Company fame, has been our stage manager and lighting and cue design person. And then we're also being joined by Mick Alderman, who is our sound and lights guy. So
Fantastic.
We've got all this wonderful talent who is enjoying opera with us. And then our director is Greg Hoppermore. Greg is an old friend of ours with Cascadia, and he's joining us as our director.
And he is not local, right?
He's not local.
He's the only one. Okay. I love the fact that you are featuring all of these locals in one production, because there are a lot of people who don't realize. They realize that the visual arts and poetry has just become a huge thing here, but and music, of course, has always been here. Dance has been growing too. Thank you, Sparrow, that keeps it alive, and of course, yes, all the studios. But opera, it was only with the Astoria Music Festival. So to find out that we have all these people right here in Astoria, and of course, Dee Guidi, who is not in this production, but you've sung with him many times. So I do.
Deke is going to be joining us in our next production of Don Pasquale. That's coming up in October. Don't worry.
Okay. We don't want to. Yeah, we've got to keep him singing. I do have a question, though, for Lori, and I warned you I was going to ask. How do you feel about, because you both agreed this idea of singing in a language that I don't understand was a bit alienating for the last generation, not so much for you, but English works and makes it more accessible and to all ages. But Lori, how do you feel about, or do you have any discrepancies between the operas that are done in other languages where you don't necessarily, of course, I suspect with the spelling of your name, Kramer, you may speak German, but you probably don't speak all the other languages. I wondered, how does it feel to have English versus all of the other? Because I have ideas about this. I'm wondering about you. Or is it all the same?
Yeah. English is, as they say in Amadeus, kind of a brutal language for singing opera in.
Yeah.
It's fabulous because it makes it more accessible to people. They don't have to rely on the supra or subtitles of the opera. But there's really nothing more lovely than an opera in Italian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was going to opera before supra titles. I studied the libretto. I knew what was happening.
Yeah.
So I'd enjoy it more. And then you could rely on super titles. And now I find I don't use them.
Mm-hmm.
I know the general repertoire very well.
That, I think, is the trick. If you're, for people who want to go and enjoy on a regular basis, is to do a little homework and be prepared. So it helps. But in this case, you don't have to do anything, folks, except go to, Barinas, am I right? Partners for the Pack is where they get their tickets, or what do you suggest?
Yep, so the easiest thing, go to partnersforthepack.org, and that's P-A-C.org,
right?
Mm-hmm. Partnersforthepack.org. You can go online. It's a pretty easy process. You click on the spot that allows you to order the tickets. Pretty quickly, it's right there. And we do ask for folks to go ahead and use that method because we are still doing social distancing in the theater. Mm-hmm. And the system allows us to socially distance our guests.
Mm-hmm.
Please be careful about that. If you get online and do that ticket purchasing, it helps us all to stay safe. We are asking our audiences to wear masks still. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, if you don't feel comfortable or you're having difficulty buying tickets online, you can call our phone number, which is 503-338-9132. Leave your name and your phone number, and we'll return the call and set up the ticket order for you on the phone.
Right, because you are going to be choosing seats, I believe. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you can sit with your cohort, and then there will be some space around you for the rest of the folks. I should mention, I've mentioned this before, that Barinas Jones Centeno wears a lot of hats, and today she's here as the director of the Cascadia Chamber Opera. But that last minute you heard was our executive director of our Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, which is one of the other hats that Barinas so capably wears. So thank you, Barinas. And thank you both for being here on KMUN. And again, this is happening next Friday, the 30th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, the 1st of August at 4 p.m. The Larson Center is at 16th and Franklin. Again, partnersforthepack.org or 503-338-9132. And enjoy the opera. Is there anything, we don't say break a leg, is there anything special we say for opera?
There are a couple of things. The, in German, we say toy, 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 getting over the shoulder.
Yeah, I know what that one is. That's Yiddish, too. That's like knock on wood, kind of. So, toy, toy, toy. I like that. I like that. Okay. Well, thank you both again, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Barinas on stage and Lori in all of the stuff that we're seeing. Take care now.
Thank you so much.
See you at the opera. Right. Okay. I do have a melody here for you from Catherine Rose, a wonderful Celtic singer. She's been here in the studio. She's going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. And she's going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center on Wednesday, the 28th of July. That's on the Long Beach Peninsula. Catherine Rose. I do also want to let you know that the Hoffman Center in Manzanita is having a raffle for tiny galleries. And Clatsop Casa is also having a raffle. Eugenia Riot is tonight, either at the Shelburne or the Pickled Fish. Check it out. And the Cannon Beach Shakespeareans is tonight at 6 o'clock in the park. And Saturday is the Mystery Play at 6 o'clock. That's all free. And they are bringing that to, that's the Coaster Theater. They are bringing that to McClure Park this Sunday, 4 p.m., both shows. And that's going to be really delightful. Bring your blankets. And on Saturday, of course, is the Open Studios Tour from 11 to 5, Saturday and Sunday. Carl Werkela's band, The Whistle Punks, is 6:30 at the Nacelle Community Center. And Kala is having a dance band, Victoria's Dance Band, at 8 o'clock, 21 and over. And next Wednesday, you're listening to Catherine Rose right now. I'm going to sign off. Thank you very much to my partner in broadcasting here, Nevada, and Graham for helping get me on the air from the studio. And thanks to my guests. Be sure to show up at the Astoria Open Studio Tour this weekend, Carrie and Karina, and Cascadia Chamber Opera next weekend. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, KMUN.org. Our community radio station. Thanks for supporting our radio station, folks. Stay safe, stay smart, stay thoughtful. This is Carol signing off.